Hi, good afternoon. Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 2, and Maranatha Baptist Church. Wow, that food was absolutely amazing. Brother Minion, you have permission to cook that every week for everybody. That was wonderful, glorious. I ate too much, and the food was excellent. Those sweet potatoes, those baked potatoes, that salad, everything was wonderful. The desserts and the more desserts and the more desserts. It's good to be a part of a church. I get excited about church. I get excited about coming around, not just the building. You know, the building's part of your church meeting place, you might say, but the people. We get here and it's raining and we pull up underneath there. We get out and we start seeing people and meeting people and talking to people, encouraging people. Get to Sunday school, we open up the Word of God together, talk about prayer, and it's exciting. And then after Sunday school, just chattering with people and fellowshipping with people, we get to the church service and the preaching of God's Word, the singing, the amazing choir, the Grand Symphony Orchestra, which is absolutely amazing, the offertories, that violin or cello special, whatever that was amazing, and it's just a blessing. It's a, what was it? It was a cello or something. I don't know. It was good. Amen. It was good. Just somebody say amen. It was good, and praise the Lord. And I figured out what the problem was. AI, the city of AI, you guys started thinking artificial intelligence, and it went over my head for a little bit right there. And so, man, then the fellowship after the church service, eating, and then we get to come back and more singing. It's good to be a part of a Bible-believing Baptist church with people who love the Lord, love God's Word, love the preaching of God's Word, who know they need prayer. And wow, it's a blessing. I love living for the Lord. I love living for the Lord. I know you do. I like church. I like the congregational singing. I like hearing about people getting saved. That history right there, church planting and Pastor Lemon and the Davidson Memorial Baptist Church, the green carpet out front. I remember that. I remember the green carpet and the balcony and the renovation and the old building over there, the Maranatha Baptist Church, bowling. Is it Bowling Springs? That's where we stay, bowling something down the street. That's where we stayed last night. It's just good to be a part of church. Mark chapter number 2. We're going to read this story of the Lord. What's going on? This is no good now? Okay, good. Now, this is good. The PA man causes problems in every church you go to, and so I see it's no difference here. And so it's your dad, isn't it, right there? He's always caused problems right there. And no, praise the Lord. They're back there busy playing chess. At least that's what they do at our church. And so is this one working? This is good. Okay. Now, Mark chapter number 2. We're going to read a story about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the city of Capernaum. And let's just stand for the reading of God's Word. And what we'll do is we'll read these first 12 verses. And what I'll do is I'll read these to you if you'll follow along with me. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And again he entered into" where? Capernaum. "After some days, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he" what? "Preached the word unto them." And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but can you just imagine, we're reading this, you being there as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, begins to preach the word? Man alive, there wouldn't have been a tired eye there. It didn't matter how full you were. You would have been on the edge of your seat listening, and some of you would even shouted. You couldn't have helped it. It would have just come out of you. Amen. Woo, glory. And you would have been excited about that. I would have been excited about it. We would have been excited to hear Jesus preach the word unto them. Verse 3, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Look at verse 5. "When Jesus saw their" what? "Faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason these things in your hearts? Whether it is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Now, you get right there. Wow. I mean, I'd have been on the edge of my seat, but I'd have been a little bit nervous for those scribes, those hypocrites that were in the church. And then Jesus right there, not running from the problem right there, but confronting the problem that was in the minds of the people. And then he said unto them, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Now look at verse 12. Read it with me, if you will. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. You get to that right there. They were amazed. They glorified God. And then they said, we never saw it on this fashion. That was an amazing meeting to be a part of. Once again, if I was there, I was around there, I tried to push my way into that crowded house, heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, man, I would go home, I would say, wow, wow, it's great living for the Lord. And the message is simply this, living for the Lord is good. Living for the Lord is good. Before we go any further, let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, and ask the Lord to bless. Dear Father in heaven, we love you. Help us to some way, in some form or fashion, be able to go back and see the picture of that town of Capernaum. Help us to see that these were real people that went to a real meeting. They heard the preaching of your word. Lives were changed. And Lord, really, that was probably the beginning for some to begin to live for you. And help us as we celebrate this 30-year anniversary of this great church, Maranatha, that, boy, we remember the memories of the people of the past, Pastor Lemon and the Davidson Memorial Baptist Church, living for you, those great days. And Lord, I pray that you help us to be reminded the importance of living for you and then remembering that living for you, it's good. Lord, we love you. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. There we go. Man alive, living for the Lord is good. And this passage of scripture, it's amazing to think about the city of Capernaum. It's neat to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number one, go back there if you will, Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. And again, and this is not his first time he's been in Capernaum. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. You start right there, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming back to the city of Capernaum. Now, you know the Bible geography. Some of you have been to Israel, and you have that Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, it's sometimes called. And wow, what a neat lake, you might say. And on the north side of that lake is the city of Capernaum. And around it, if you can picture it, there's sort of these foothill mountains that surround the Sea of Galilee. Down to the south, the Jordan River comes out. And wow, and you look to the north, if you look off the north, you can see it. And up there, there's a snow-covered mountain, and it's called Mount Hermon. And that snow will melt in the spring going into the summer, and it'll flow into that place called Dan. And then those waters from Dan's will enter, and it'll be called the Jordan River, the waters from Dan River. And you can picture the city of Capernaum, sort of a fishing village. There's a sort of a smell, you might say, out there because there's fishermen. You know, Peter's from Capernaum. You can see the boats as they're crossing the Sea of Galilee. Sometimes they're fishing all night, toiling all night. They cast their nets, they bring in the fish in, and then they're bringing the fish to the market. And you can see the bread that's been being baked, and the people here and the people there in that city of Capernaum. And Jesus had been there before. By the way, Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus, has healed people. The teachings of Jesus. And you imagine the first time that he got there when the Lord Jesus Christ had administered to people, cared for people, helped people, and healed people. There was sort of a buzz going around, and he left town. And here, once again, he's coming back to Capernaum. He entered into Capernaum, and again, he entered into Capernaum, and it was noised that he was in the house. Why was it noised? Well, it's Jesus. How can it not be noise? You and I, we'd be sitting in town, and all of a sudden, look, it's Jesus. And all of a sudden, we wouldn't keep that to ourselves. No, Christians wouldn't do that. We would go find our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, our my wife and my kids. And listen, Jesus is back. We got to make sure. You don't want to miss it this time. You may have missed it last time, but we've got to get close to Jesus. We need to spend some time with Jesus. We've got to hear what he has to say. We got to see some of the works that he does. And wow, you can see the buzz of the town and the people that are excited and they're gathering. You see, he's over there. He's in that house. Look at verse 2, if you will. And straightway, not just some, but it says many. Do you see that? And straightway, many were gathered together. Now, you just stop right there. Many, it's the big meeting. And living for the Lord, it's good. And praise God for the big meeting right there. Many were gathered together. That house, you don't know how big it was, but man, they packed them in like sardines. And imagine you see Jesus go in that house. You know something's going to happen there. And you get there, you know, like we do. We get to church early because we want to be part of what's going on. And we get there early. We don't want to crawl in the last couple minutes of church. We're there early because we want to meet people, see people. We want to make sure that we get the good seat. And we got in there. We opened the door right there. Come on in. And we went in there, and some of you got in the front row, but by the time I imagine getting there, that time there's already people in that thing, and you can almost see them getting seated out there, and they have a seat, and they're getting pushed in back there. It's the big meeting. Many are coming in, and they keep coming, and they keep coming, and more people are coming to the big meeting. Have you ever been to a big meeting? Boy, a big meeting. An exciting meeting where something's going on. You can almost taste it. You can almost feel that, man, the Lord is going to do something special. The Lord is going to work in a great way. And by the way, can I just say that when you have a preacher like you do, a preacher like Pastor Jim Davidson, who preaches the Word of God, something is happening. You know how I know? Because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't help it. Thy words, it's like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. The Word of God, it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And this right here is something even more special. You have Jesus, God himself, the Lamb of God, who's going to be preaching the Word, the big meeting. They're packing in there. Man, it's good living for the Lord. It's good living for the Lord. Look at it a little bit further in verse number 2. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. He preached the word unto them. You can imagine, we got there, and oh, we got in there. Woo, glad I got me a seat. You can see some people like poking in through the window right there, and about five or six heads in that window, and they're trying to get close, and people are trying to get to the door, and they're falling down off of things, and they're going over there, and they're trying to get in there. They just want to hear the preacher preach the word, and there's some buzz about it, and there's some excitement about it. There's some joy about it. And you know who's preaching? You know who's preaching today in this meeting here in Capernaum? It's Jesus. Boy, that had to have been the best of the best messages. Man, the Lord Jesus Christ himself opening up the Word of God and preaching the Word. I love 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And you get to, I think, 2 Timothy chapter 3, perilous time shall come. You ever read that? Oh, boy. And you can see Paul trying to encourage Timothy. Perilous times shall come. Men shall be the lovers of their own selves. And you read that. It's sort of,
Sort of discouraging. You ever get discouraged about that? And then Paul says, Moses suffered persecution. And then Paul says, I have suffered persecution. Then he gets to that last part. He says, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But then he says to Timothy, he says, but continue in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy, what? Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we get to that point, and Paul's saying to Timothy, you remember, you know, there's perilous times that are going to come. Boy, there's going to be some problems. But you know what helped you? The scriptures. You know what helped you? Is the word of God. You know what helped you make it another day? Was God's holy, precious word. And then you turn the chapter over to the next chapter, chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. You get to verse 4. Because the scriptures made such a difference in your life, Timothy, preach the word. Hey, make sure you go out there and preach the word. Give people the word of God. You know, the word of God has made a difference from the beginning of time to 2023. Boy, it made a difference in the Lord Jesus Christ time in Mark chapter 2 in the city of Capernaum. It made a difference back in Joshua's time, and it made a difference in Moses' time. It made a difference in Paul's time and Timothy's time. It made a difference, 50 years ago or 30 years ago at the start of Maranatha Baptist Church, 1940s, when Davidson Memorial Baptist Church, Pastor Lemon got started. Wow, the scriptures are powerful. You know, in the years to come here at Maranatha Baptist Church, you know what's going to make a difference in people's lives? The scriptures. And here in Capernaum, Jesus gets up and he begins to preach. Boy, I pray that they have a replay in heaven and I can go sit there and I'd like to have a camera and just listen to Jesus, listen to his voice, listen to him articulate, listen to how he expounded the scriptures. What did he say? How did he illustrate? And you look at that time period, we would have been there at the edge of our seats, hoping that he doesn't quit, hoping that it doesn't get done. And we're rejoicing, we're praising the Lord that Jesus is preaching the word of God to them. Boy, it's exciting, Jim, just thinking right there. Pastor Jim Davidson, pardon me. I go back those 28 years ago, we were on the USS Stump, a destroyer. And the idea of starting a Bible study. And then we started inviting people to come. And you and I, you knew more Bible than I, which is not saying too much, okay? And then we're going to start a Bible study. We're going to teach. And we worked through this, and people started coming. And we started as best we can. We went through the whole book of Acts on that deployment right there and teaching the Word of God and people getting excited about the Word of God. And then more people came and more people, and we were down Repair 8, the ladder well. You go past the ship store and you take a right, and right there in that door was a little cubby hole right there. And man alive, people came in to pack into that. We had tables right there. And to get 30-some people in that room, sometimes it was packed in there. It was exciting. It's exciting. Church, hearing the preaching of God's word, being around God's people, man alive, here in Capernaum, we're hearing about Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ preaching the word of God. Look at verse number 3. Look at this. Wow. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. You imagine right here, living for the Lord is good. We missed it. Man, we didn't get in there for the preaching of God's word. There's too many. Look at all these people around the outside. Oh, boy. We have our friend over here who's been sick of the palsy. Jesus could have helped him if we could have brought him to Jesus. Now, here's sort of another thought. You know, having a big meeting and the preaching of God's word, it's still good today. But praise God for people who bring people to Jesus Christ. Praise God for our opportunity to bring people to Jesus. Boy, even this morning, Boy, praise the Lord. Some of the people here at the church were brought to church so the people that brought to church could hear the preaching of the Word of God. And I'm so thankful for that. I was excited about that. I was rejoicing in that. But that's this. Oh, man, Jesus over here. Our man, our friend, sick of the palsy. Let's bring him to Jesus. They get over there and they say, you can almost see him looking at him. Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. I want to take you. I would carry you myself, but you've been lazy lately. You've gotten a little too big for that. I've got to go find a couple of my other buddies. And so born of four, it wasn't a small person. So they got four guys over there. Okay, guys, here we go. Let's one, two, three, lift. And all of a sudden they got him up and they're pulling up, getting him like that. And they're bringing him to Jesus. They get right outside that house right there. They're born of four and get him outside of there. There's too many people. There's no way to get in. And you can almost see it. One of the guys says, I got an idea. And we may not be able to get in there. We may not get to push him through the window or anything. But this is important. What we can do, let's go to the roof. I'm not going to explain everything to you, but let's go to the roof. So almost a staircase over there, and they begin to carry him up the staircase. They get to the top of the roof, and then the guys, maybe one of the other guys says, now, we're up on the roof. What is it? I thought we were bringing him to Jesus. What are we going to do now? Watch. And all of a sudden, they begin to dig through the roof right there, made out of a little bit of mud and twigs and straw right there. And they begin to dig and start going to the roof. Now, imagine you got a prime spot. You're sitting there listening to the preaching of the word. And all of a sudden, you didn't notice, but all of a sudden, a little piece of dirt or dust all of a sudden falls and goes boop right in front of you. And all of a sudden, you try to ignore it because you don't want to be a distraction. You're listening to the preaching of the word. And next thing you know, a couple more. And all of a sudden, you can't help it, but you look up. And to your amazement, next thing you see like a finger going through there. And you're like, what is going on here? Now, having a large family, I'm going to get back to that story, but having a large family, there has been, and we all have lots of stories from being in church, distracted. You ever having a story? One of the times we were sitting, this is before I was a pastor, sitting right over here on the front pew, front chairs. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the sermon, the preacher's preaching the word. The lady behind me taps me on the shoulder right there, and she points down. And she says, "See that beetle?" And it was a big beetle, huge. He says, "Would you get your son Jonathan to pick up that beetle and make sure he doesn't eat it?" And I don't know why she would say something like that. Let's pick up the beetle and get right. Why would she say, "Don't eat it"? And so it distracted me, obviously, from the rest of the sermon. I couldn't figure out what was going on here. And so anyways, my son got the beetle, got out the distraction. So after the church service, I sort of went up to the lady and I said, I understand what you meant about my son, you know, taking care of that beetle, but what did you mean, don't eat it? And she goes, oh, you didn't know. And I said, no, what? And she says, oh, in school, your son will eat any bug as long as somebody pays him money. And so I said, I didn't know that. And so my son had been eating beetles and all sorts of things in school. Anyways, back to the regular schedule program. Here we are. They're digging through there. You're looking up and you're like, oh my. And the hole gets bigger and the dust gets more. And I mean, everybody, after a little bit of time, you're trying to pay attention to the preaching of God's word. But I think even Jesus stopped and began to look up and everybody's looking up. Just try it for a second. Just pretend right there. Just look up. Just look. Try to concentrate for 10 seconds. One, two, that's a fast 10 seconds. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, 10. Did you picture the hole getting bigger and bigger and bigger? Okay, good, 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 good. So the hole gets bigger. Next thing you know, they're lowering this man down to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this, and I want to say it loud, and I want to say it clear. I think that the importance of bringing people, we can't overemphasize the importance of us bringing people to Jesus. These people, these four people, who went out of their way to care for this man sick of the palsy, to go through some obvious obstacles, a full house, carrying him up on the roof, digging through the roof, lowering him down, the ridicule, boy, are in heaven today looking down to say, woo, praise God we did. Boy, it is a lot of work bringing people to Jesus. It's a lot of work going out our way to care for people. it's a lot of work going out of our way to show the love of Christ, sometimes to a family member, sometimes to a neighbor, sometimes to a bus kid, sometimes to a fellow college student, sometimes to a fellow, somebody all around. We all have people around us that we can reach and bring to Jesus. We live in a world that needs Christians to bring people to Jesus. We live in a world where, boy, the other crowd is bringing them their direction. They're shouting it from a mountaintop, their sin. They're shouting on the mountaintop their wickedness, and they have no problem bringing people to their wickedness. We as Christians, we need to come back out of the closet and bring people to Jesus. Yes, it works. Yes, it's work. Yes, it takes time. Yes, it takes effort, but it doesn't get any better than bringing people to Jesus. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. More, it's glorious bringing people to Jesus. Look back with me. Look at verse number 5. When Jesus saw their what? Faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And you get to this point where Jesus saw their faith. And I think this, the faith that they have, the faith is a substance of things hoped for. Once again, Hebrews, the evidence of things not seen. And we get to the sixth verse, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we're called to live by faith. You've heard that song, Living by Faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. I don't know if you know this song. I don't know the rest of it either, so I was hoping somebody would help me out. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. You know the rest of it. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm, in his sheltering, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm, but I do right now. I feel out of alarm looking at you all, mean peoples. And so, man alive, how many of you had never heard that song before? Okay, how many of you heard that song? You sing it really, really terrible. I mean, good. And so we'll work on that sometime. But we're to live as Christians a life of faith. And Jesus saw their faith, their hope. And they didn't know how it was going to work, but they trusted that God was going to take care of it. And they were living by faith. And when Jesus saw their faith, boy, part of living for the Lord is living by faith. We ought to live by faith. We ought to live lives of faith. Here's faith. When you go to God and you say, God, thy will be done. God, today I want to live for you. God, I want to live a life that's pleasing to you. God, I want to live for you. And then all of a sudden, there is a battle inside of us. All of a sudden, God makes it apparent and obvious what his will is that day. And then all of a sudden, immediately, we sometimes will go, there's the children of Anak over there, God. There are walled cities over there, God. Without a doubt, that's what you want us to do, but I can't. And all of a sudden, we go from a life of faith to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to a life of faith in ourselves. And our faith in ourselves, it's not going to work. But we need to have faith in God, have faith in God, have faith in God. And he saw their faith right there. Praise God, living for the Lord. You can see from the time you were saved and you look year after year when you made a step of faith and you did the will of God. Wow, look what the Lord has done. Look what God has done. Look how he brought everything together. This building right here and the ministry of Maranatha, the ministry of the Davidson Memorial Baptist Church is men of God and the congregation working together, trusting that God can, and doing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, a life of faith. It's good to live by faith. It's glorious to live by faith. We're saved by faith, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Living a life of faith. Now, go back with me. Look at the way this is worded. In verse number 6. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their where? Hearts. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Okay, this is very interesting. The scribes, They were hypocrites in their hearts, and they were reasoning in their hearts. They began to question the Lord Jesus Christ. Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And that's a good question, by the way. It's a very, very, very good question. Back in the book of Leviticus, chapter 24, the Bible says this, "And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation, if you blaspheme the name of the Lord, you shall be surely put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him as well as a stranger." So if you understand, they believe that sins were atoned by the offerings at the temple. And here this man is, Jesus, he begins to preach. He begins to say, "I'm going to forgive his sins." They begin to say in their hearts, not vocally, outwardly, they begin to say, "Hey, the only one that can forgive sins is God. And the way we do it on earth is to go offer a sacrifice at the temple." You understand that temple right there? So they begin to look at Jesus as a blasphemer. They begin to look at him as somebody that should be killed for what he was saying and what he was doing. And this is very, 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 very important, because they were criticizing God himself. They were criticizing Jesus right here. In the Christian life, it's good to serve the Lord, but I just want to say there's always been and there will always be critics. When you're doing the will of the Lord, you as an individual, you as a family, a husband and wife, we're going to live for God. We're going to serve the Lord. And you have a tender heart for the Lord. You simply want to do the will of God. There's always been critics. There always will be critics. And don't be shocked. They even criticized Jesus himself. Do you understand that? So, man alive, when you get criticized for being tenderhearted toward the Lord and doing the work of the Lord, hey, you're in good company. You're in the company with Jesus. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Boy, praise the Lord. As you go through this, the truth is that Jesus can forgive sins. Why? Because he's God. The truth is Jesus can forgive sins. Why? Because he's God. And the amazing thing right there, and as the story goes, you're going to see that man sick of the palsy, he stands up and he walks right there, and he was given an illustration that he indeed was truly the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And he was proclaiming himself. He was pointing people and leading people to trust him as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And here's an interesting thought. They said in their hearts, if you go back and look at this in verse number 8, it says, "And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves," and this, we had a lot of food, it's been a long day, but if you can imagine just for a moment thinking something, you're there in that meeting, that house, it's full, it's packed, and all of a sudden thinking, sort of like some of you have thought today during my preaching, you've had some thoughts today when I said something, and boy, that happens. We all do that. When we have a service, we have a church, we're reasoning, we're thinking, but Jesus immediately knew it. It's like all of a sudden he looks and he sees it. If Quincy, you were one of those men, just you're tough, your ability, all of a sudden he looks, he notices everything you've thought, and he knew exactly what you thought in your mind. And imagine all of a sudden he begins to look at you with the piercing eyes right there. And he knows everything that you've thought in your mind. By the way, he does. You can't hide anything from God. Boy, I want to say, teenager, you're here for service. Maybe a young man or a young woman, you're in college right here, and you're a little bit away from your mom and dad, like it not used to be. And all of a sudden, your thoughts, and you wouldn't say it out loud, but you think some things. And nobody knows, mom doesn't know, dad doesn't know, pastor doesn't know, my Sunday school teacher knows. Well, you know, somebody does know. Somebody knows. God knows. God knows. We got to be very, very careful. We got to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because God does know your thoughts. He does, you know. You may keep it a secret from your parents, and you may keep it a secret from your pastor, but you'll never keep a secret from the Almighty God. And we need to have clean thinking, clean thinking. Make sure that our thoughts, make sure our mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Christ. Amen. So Jesus knew. He knew the truth. He knew the truth. Now look at verse number 12. This is the very end of the sermon. I'll go shorter this afternoon, right? We had a lot of food. Praise the Lord. I go shorter when somebody just says amen. Like I said, I'm short. I just like a holy grunt or something. Maybe no amen here, but do like a holy like grunt, okay? A shorter sermon. You grunt. You go, okay, like that. A shorter sermon. Okay, so good, good. We're in unison there. I could use that. Okay, here we go. Look at verse 12. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. You're there in that meeting. Boy, that hole is coming through the ceiling. The man comes down. The reasoning in their hearts, the scribes, Jesus confronting that, the sins forgiven. Arise and walk. And right at that point, arise and walk. We're on the edge of our seat. What's going to happen now? What's going to happen? And immediately, what he did is he got up and he walked. It was a miracle. Can you imagine being a part of that service? Imagine seeing a miracle happen. Imagine seeing that man arise up and walk. Glory, glory, holy mackerels, I might have said. And you look at that, we never saw it on this fashion. Wow! And they're looking back and say, living for the Lord is good. Living for the Lord is good. Living for the Lord is good. You know, in the Christian life today, we don't have miracles like that necessarily happen where Jesus is having a rise up and walk. But miracles do happen. Well, God does work in a good. The miracle of somebody getting saved. The miracle of somebody getting gloriously saved where they go from unbelief to belief. And sometimes in your church, sometimes as you're talking to somebody and God opens the door for you to give them the gospel and you just step out of their interest and you try your best to explain it, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ become of none effect. And you begin to tell them about how Jesus loves them and Jesus cares for them and Jesus died on the cross for their sins. And boy, the price for our sin is hell, but Jesus paid that price. But God commendeth his love toward us and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then you encourage them, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And they trust the Lord as their Savior. Man, the miracle of salvation. Woo! Glory! Praise the Lord. Somebody got saved. We see things that are miracles, that are amazing, where God's working in people's life all the time. Boy, I got to perform a wedding on Friday. Two young people who've been saved, who come together and get married in this world today that is against marriage. And they get married where they're making the marriage vows till death do us part, uniting under the name of Christ, two becoming one, just like they did in the Bible. And I got done with that, and I'm like, wow! This is glorious. This is wonderful. God's working in people's lives. Wow. Boy, somebody getting called out of your church, Brother Minion, to Brazil. And you're going to go there, you and your wife, and boy, have a part in seeing the souls get saved and churches getting started. What's more exciting than that? Boy, it's exciting seeing the Lord work in a great way. And yes, we would get excited about somebody who never walked, all of a sudden walking. Yes, but sometimes I think that we just miss the miracle. The miracle of when God, do you know the miracle of when God sends you a guest to church? A visitor, just a visitor. You know what, that ought to be one of the most exciting times. A visitor came to church. Boy, you see him come to the door. You say, who are you? And the next thing you know, you say, man alive, my name is Matt Nettesheim. We are glad that you are here. How did you hear about our church? Then you share with them love of Christ. You care for their soul. And boy, this church cares for people. This church loves people. But that's a miracle. And you look at this, the miracle of Jesus allowing us to serve him. Living for the Lord is good. Living for the Lord is good. Here we looked at this. And we saw the big meeting. It was a big meeting in Capernaum. We saw the preaching of God's word. We saw people bringing people to Jesus. We saw people that lived by faith. We noticed the critics. They've always been critics. But the truth is, Jesus is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And we saw the miracles right there. Now, let me ask you a question. How about you? When I said living for the Lord is good, what was in your mind? Do you believe that living for the Lord is good? Do you believe it? Are you excited about it? What about this, the big meeting? Do you get excited about the big meeting? Do you get excited about, man, pastors have missions conference. Woo! Glory. We're going to have missionaries. You hear them say that? We're going to have missionaries. Missionaries. Missionaries that come on Saturday early. And you already know some of them, but you're going to meet some missionaries that are going to go out like an Apostle Paul, like a Timothy, like a Peter did, and they're going to go preach the gospel somewhere, and you have a chance to go meet them and encourage them, ask them questions. Does it get any better than that? No, it doesn't. It's exciting, the big meeting. It's just like it was in the news. What about the preaching of the word? Woo! We're going to have a missionary preach for us. Now, Pastor Jim Davidson has me come in. I've come in this year just to give you an appreciation for your own pastor. I know that. And so, man, you're like, praise God, he's gone. Let's get Pastor Davidson back here. I understand that. I appreciate that. But we understand, we like the preaching of God's word. And we ought to be excited about the preaching of God's word. What about bringing people to Jesus? Has there been somebody where God pricks your heart that you ought to give them a gospel track, or you ought to take a little bit of time and tell them about the Lord? Has it happened recently? And if not, why not? Is it not because the fields are wide into harvest? The fields are wide into harvest, but the laborers are few. And maybe it's not that the opportunity's not there. Maybe you have not been tender-hearted enough to take that opportunity and be excited about it. What about faith? Have you been living by faith? You've been going to God and being excited about God's not my will, but thine be done, and then having the faith to do God's will. What about the critics? Don't be one. What about the critics? Don't be one. What about the critics? Don't be one. Not even in your brain, not even in your mind right there. And then understand when God has a critic, boy, they're there, right there, say, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I love God's word. I love my pastor. I love the preaching that Jesus has given us right there. And don't join them, amen. And then the truth is, when you live out living for the Lord, it's good. And you begin to see God work in a great way. Man, living for the Lord is good. It doesn't get any better than that. Praise God for these 30 years at Maranatha Baptist Church. But praise God for this year, 2023 and 2024 and 2025. There's a lot of exciting things going on, and praise the Lord for it. Living for the Lord is good. Dear Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you for Mark chapter number 2.